nearly a month into session already, Senator. There's already been a couple of weeks' worth of committee hearings held, including some of your legislation. Let's talk about a couple of those. Let's start with Senate Bill 581.
581 had a hearing last week. It went well. I think they'll probably vote it out this week. Senate Bill 581 is an education reform bill. The basis of it really is it creates a tax credit program. So if people donate money to a scholarship fund that will be run through the treasurer's office, they will get a tax credit for that donation. In the treasurer's office, it'll be a $25 million cap, the way it's written right now. And the treasurer's office will manage it. People that are in buildings that are not performing well and whose income are not over the limits we set will qualify for up to the state adequacy target, which is about $6,300. They will get that money to attend a private school. The treasurer will do it when you apply. If your application is approved, they will transfer money to a 529 account for that student, and then that money will be used to pay the tuition and the expenses at that private school that they've decided to go to. Since I've been here working, my goals have been in education, try to get kids, usually in these big city school districts, try to get them from buildings that aren't doing particularly well, that are not successful, into buildings that are, and that's what this really focuses on. It's going to focus at low-income kids, try to get them into private schools, and it will not hurt the existing schools at all. It leaves the local money with them. It's going to save the foundation formula, which funds the school statewide, a lot of money as those kids come off the foundation formula. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Another of your bills was heard in the Seniors Committee, and that one last week as well.
That is the long-term dignity care bill, we're calling it. The intent there is, it's kind of like 529s were a few years ago. 529s, the way I understand it, started in Michigan. And initially, all you got was you could put money into a savings account, and you would save the state income tax on that money. It'd be before tax money. State income taxes don't motivate people very much. In Missouri, our state income tax over $9,000 is 5.2%. So the savings aren't that great, but the 529s, other states adopted them. After a while, the federal government took notice, and then they passed accommodating legislation so it is now federally deductible. And 529s now are a very important part of student funding for colleges, and a couple years ago they changed it so it could be used for K-12 education. So it's become an important part of that. My hope is this bill, which allows people to use money that they've put away in before tax account that will grow for a person's life. If you start doing this in your 20s, you probably won't need this money most of the time. It's money for illnesses like Alzheimer's and other things. That's very debilitating, and families quickly burn through their cash. It allows them to set aside money for these purposes. It's too late for my generation, but the folks in their 20s now might take note of it. Everybody won't, but some will. The cost to our treasury presently is, like I said, 5.2% of whatever they put into this account. The savings long term, when they get to the age where it's needed, if they have a sizable amount of money in these deferred accounts and use it, that can delay many people's entry into Medicaid, or at least delay their need for Medicaid as they spend down their personal assets. So it could be a huge savings for the state in future years. Plus, it allows people to provide the services and get the services they need when they're suffering some of these terrible illnesses and allow them to stay at home and keep their dignity. That's why we call it the long-term dignity bill.
Looking ahead to this week, another series of committee hearings, obviously, for lawmakers, and you have some more legislation coming up for committee this week as well.
This week, I've introduced a bill about the Korean War Memorial in Kansas City, which is a treasure. The bill, by the way, is Senate Bill 656. I wasn't even aware that Kansas City had a Korean War Memorial, but we do. I found out. It's right across the street from the Crown Center Hotel in Washington Square Park. I went and saw it. It is quite a substantial memorial, and I've learned much more about the war. I did realize, but I never really looked at the sacrifice those guys went through. We had over 900 Missourians killed in that war. All their names are engraved on that war memorial. That's why I'm hoping to make it a state recognized. When there are other memorials around, and they are fine memorials, one in St. Louis is dedicated to the soldiers that died in four counties in the St. Louis area, and it is a really well-done memorial also. But this one is for the entire state. We've got a list of people who were killed, and they're from nearly every county in the state. And so what we're trying to do is get them designated as the state war memorial. It allows them to apply for more grant funding, which will allow them to improve the memorial. I think it'll be a great thing. People go down there, it is an impressive sight. And if they do that, they can go just about two blocks south, and there is a World War I museum, which is another national treasure a lot of people have never been to. It is a wonderful place to see and sort of understand what those guys did in World War I, which was a remarkable sacrifice.